And we start in the sixth chapter that you've already heard in your hearing. I read verses 1 through 4 in verse 8. The Bible reads, "Hear ye now what the Lord said. Arise, contend thy before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath had a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam." The eighth verse reads, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what did the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? Hear ye now what the Lord said. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord have a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel." Supporting scripture this morning coming from 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, the 19th and the 20th verse. "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Because of God's controversy this morning, that's why Gloria sang the song for me this morning. For on the basis of those scriptures, our thought or our subject this morning is, "O Zion, what's the matter now? O Zion, what's the matter now?" It's a wonderful thing this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, yes. It's good to know that you have a desire and a heart that loves God. If you love God, you ought to let God know every now and again, "Lord, I'm on your side." Hallelujah to the name Jesus. We love God this morning. We thank God, because if it had not been for him, we wouldn't even be here this morning. God is such a wonderful God that despite ourselves, despite all the many things that may transpire in our lives, God blesses us day by day. And we find this morning that every day is truly a day of thanksgiving. If you love God, you love God every day. You love him when you're up. You love him even when you're down. You love him even the more when God steps in and he does those things that we ask him to do. And I wonder this morning, are we aware of the fact that this is a blessing, that God has blessed us and kept us throughout another week's journey? And he kept us in a way that we are able to come back to the house of God this morning and tell God, "Thank you." We thank God for his goodness and his mercy. And we are here again, assembled together in this place. And we're here this morning for the main purpose of magnifying the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. I say to us this morning, let us not take it lightly or take it for granted that we are here, because it is a blessing from God. And if you had a desire this morning and a will to come to the house of God, you ought to be glad, because every one of us has to offer our own supplications. We have to tell God, "Thank you for the things that he has done." We have to let the Lord know that there's some things in my life that I need you to help me with. And your neighbor don't know your life like you know your life. Your neighbor don't know the things that you need. And mom and daddy can't come and bring all your things to God. You got to come and lay some things on the altar for yourself. We got to understand this morning that we are God's very special creation. And he loved us so much that he gave his son, Jesus the Christ, as a ransom for us all. He is our God and he is worthy to be praised. And every one of us in here has something to thank God for. Now, I'm aware that we all don't praise God in the same fashion, but we still ought to have a praise or a sense of thanksgiving down on the inside. Everybody's not going to wave their hand, but their heart ought to flutter just a little bit when the Spirit of God begins to move. You ought to be able to know that God has blessed you beyond measure, and because he's blessed you, you owe God a praise this morning. We come praising God knowing that he alone is worthy of honor and of our glory. He has done great things for all of the people of God. Despite us, God has blessed us. And we know through the word of God, it declares that we are yet nothing but filthy rags before the Lord our God. But even though we are filthy rags before God, we can proclaim salvation this morning knowing that we are saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. You're not saved by your own merits. You're not saved this morning because of what you don't do anymore. You're not saved this morning because even of the people that you let go. You're saved this morning. If you're saved, you're only saved because it's by the grace of a loving God. Grace is that unmerited favor of God that he has shown beyond all mankind. And every one of us ought to be able to say this morning, I'm highly favored in the Lord. And you know that there's some individuals that use that as a walking testimony that I'm highly favored because they want you to know I'm blessed by the best. But you got to understand, even if you don't acknowledge your blessings, if you are not one of those that want to wear it on your chest that I'm a child of God, if you're not one of those that want to boast about what the Lord God has done for you, but you know that you heard somewhere that Jesus died for your sin. And if you're a believer that he died for your sin, then you are highly favored in God. Are there any highly favorite folk in the house that don't mind giving God some hallelujah praise? Don't you know you're not saved because you're in the house of God, but your salvation, you've been separated and set apart to give God glory and give him honor. Give your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That's who we are here to please this morning, is God. And we got to understand that God gives us favor no matter who you are. Regardless of your social status in our community, regardless of where you may fall in the tax bracket concerning our finances and our possession, sometimes we think that we are all of that because we got a lot. But having a lot don't mean anything. Don't you know there are some people that don't have anything that are just as happy or happier than you are that got a whole lot? Where much is given, much is required. So if you got it, you got to clean it. You got to wipe it. You got to keep up with it. You got to take care of it. And how many are so tired of wiping that china down? How many are tired of going through and dusting off that beautiful furniture you got? But you thank God for what you got. Because when you look back to where we come from, there were times when you were lucky if you had a jar to drink out of. And now you're drinking out of crystal. And you don't want to praise God? Oh, Zion, what's the matter now? We're going to get somewhere this morning. We're going to get somewhere this morning. We still belong to the same God. The one that we believe that is the supplier of every one of our needs. It was him that came and said, I come that you might have life. And not only that you have life, but that you might have it more abundantly. So God don't expect you to accept the least in life. If you want something, you got to believe you can have it. Then our ancestors taught us that a lot of things come by hard work and sacrifice. Nobody gonna give you anything. They give it to you, you don't know how to appreciate it. Look how you do God. God gave us life and we sit around like God owes us something. God gave us this beautiful sanctuary to come in and worship him. And we don't want to spend but a couple of hours in here. And lucky if we spend 2 hours in here, we're ready to jet out the door. But I want to let you know, when you go out that door, you're getting in God's car. You're going back to God's house. You're not going to your house. So the same praise you give him in here, you ought to give it to him when you get home. Lord, I thank you I got a bed to lay my head on. Lord, I thank you I got a slice of bread and a piece of bologna. I can fix me a sandwich and get rid of my hunger pains. Anybody in here glad that God supplies your every need? How many of you know the Lord to be your shepherd? Do you know him to be your shepherd? If you know that he's your shepherd, he says you shall not want. So all you got to do is what? Ask God. We look back over the course of life. Find out this morning that we are God's chosen people. But when we look in the times of the ages, the children of Israel, the Jewish nation, those people that was promised love and protection and provisions for life and for living. They were promised that one day they will be given a land flowing with milk and honey and everything that they needed. All they had to do was to reverence God as God. Let him be the only true living God. He said in the word of God, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He said that I'll go with you, I'll be there, and I'll do the things that need to be done. But as we read the scriptures, we find that man has always fallen short. Seem like we always seemingly want to know a better way of doing things. Now, found in the word of God that King Solomon, after all of his search of wisdom and understanding, he wanted to know what was it about life that fascinated man to the point to get them to act the way they react, to see the things the way that we see things. And he found out that there was nothing new under the sun. Life just goes around in a cycle and all is yet but vanity. Life itself passeth away. His final conclusion and instruction was to remember the Creator in the days of our youth. To do what we can while we can, because we, the dust, shall return to the earth as it was. By the Spirit of God, he said, the fear of God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment. Every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So either way we go, we are going to have to answer to God one day. We got to understand that when we stand before the judgment seat of God, we're not going to be able to point the finger at somebody else. God has allowed us to live long enough to where we got the written word and we got the spoken word and we got the televised word. The word is out there. All you got to do is get it. And after you get the word, you got to understand that you got to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. Now, we find out that we got to learn how to trust God with everything that we have. God requires of us to be just and to love mercy and to walk humbly with him. But the children of Israel were just like a lot of us are still today. Hard-headed. Hard-hearted. We are sometimes a folk that can't be reckoned with. You ever seen folk that just don't want to get along? You ever seen folk that they say that they love God but don't speak to the neighbor? Ever seen folk that say that they're on the Lord's side and they're on the way to heaven, but they just cussed you out and told you to go the other way? But yet we still believe that we're going to be or get somewhere someday. Well, you're right, you're going somewhere, but why, how you live and what you believe is going to be determined where you're going to end up. I want to let you know this morning that coming in here, putting on this robe and declaring the word does not guarantee me a place in the kingdom. Just like you, I got to do what the Lord God said do. The children of Israel realized that as good as God had been to them, they still always turned their backs on God. See, we've been too blessed by God to go through the motions and not know that God is a mighty good God. We ought to know that God is going to bless us despite who we are. We are blessed wherever we are. We need to thank God this morning, because if we find out that if God has blessed us, we ought to get satisfied sometime. But how many of you know that we are people that just don't want to be satisfied? God give you a little bit of something, you want a whole lot of something else. God give you a little bit of that you ask for, then you want something else. We got to understand that we think we know everything. We want everything to be better than what it is. Man is in the background right now working on a better way to do things, a faster way to do things, and looking for a new model to give you an upgrade. Anybody tired of upgrading? Yeah. Every now and again, you get to a place in life where you just want to level off and I just want to go out just like this. I don't want no brand new changes. I don't want to go through any other thing. All I want, and a lot of times, you know, we so caught up into these electronics, we got to understand that they made now to make you keep on coming back. You wonder, I take good care of it, and I make sure that everything's all right. I hadn't dropped that phone in a long time. But how many of you know that album, all of a sudden, it still won't work? Then when you go and get it checked out, they say it's time for an upgrade. Well, when you get the upgrade, you say, I don't need all that extra stuff. All I want to do is make a phone call. All I want to do is just talk to somebody. I don't need all this, that, and the other. Well, they say, well, I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry, ma'am. But this is the way the world is today. You got to get an upgrade. Upgrade's not for everybody. Some of you can't even answer that phone you got in your purse right now because you got an upgrade and you don't know how to operate it. God and bless us and keep on blessing us, and we just keep on looking for things to get better and better, but we got to appreciate what he's already done. Question is today, what does God think of us as individuals? Do we need an upgrade? All right. You're not where you ought to be with God. You need to be upgraded. Yeah. AT&T and Verizon can't do it for you. God upgrades you. You don't have to worry about if the power go out. Because the God I serve got all power. Anybody know that God can work when the electricity is off? Anybody know that God works when you don't even have food in the house? Anybody know that God works when you are down and out and your body is all in pain and you're wondering what I'm going to do? But somebody said, but God stepped into my sick room. But God came to my rescue. But God gave me just a little enough money to take care of the thing that I need to take care of. God. And when I think of the goodness of my God and all that the Lord God had done for me, I can't help but have a hallelujah spirit. If there any hallelujah people in the house, if there anybody in the house this morning that's just tired of going through the motions and want to give God a hallelujah praise, because you know that the Lord God looked over your fault. Bless your every need. Picked you up out of the dirt and the miry clay. Made a way out of no way. Touch your feeble body. Hallelujah to the name Jesus. And after all that, look how we do God. Do God any kind of way. Bible says your body is a temple of the Lord. Something about Jesus. Something about knowing the power of God. See, I don't know about you this morning, but I thank God for following the Spirit of God. See, when God gave me this message last night, I just began to meditate and say, Lord, what you want me to say? Then God said, you know, that old song that says, oh, Zion, what's the matter now? Now you want to see how I got to that? I heard what Micah was saying to the people of God. He said, hear ye now what the Lord said. See, I'm not telling you what I got to say, but I'm telling you what the Lord God said. He said it first to Micah, and Micah said it to the people of God. He said, arise and contend before the mountains and let the hills hear thy voice. It's time for you to get up and start talking to the Lord your God. It's time for you to let the Lord know why you're acting the way that you are. It's time for you to stop acting like you got it all under control. It's time for you to know that God is the one with all power in his hands. He said, hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, for we have strong foundations of the earth, but the Lord have a controversy with the people. So in other words, he said, God got a problem with you right now. Anybody know that God is a loving and compassionate God, but right now God got a problem with the way you carry yourself. God wants you to know that it's time out for acting like he owes you something, and you ought to act like you owe him something. We sit in God's house sitting like we all cute and pretty. You ought to come in God's house ready to get ugly and nasty and let the Lord know I'm glad to be in the house of God one more time. God makes an appeal to the people. God had the power to just destroy everybody. But because God loved his people so much, because they were his chosen people, he said, oh, my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. As good as I've been to you, why you treat me like you do? Why I got to beg for amen? Why I got to beg for somebody to tell me thank you? Why I got to beg for somebody to get up at testimony time and talk about the goodness of the Lord? Why is it I got to go through all of these unnecessary changes just to see that my people know that I am still the Lord thy God? See, there's some folk that will not believe unless they see it with their eyes. But my Bible says, blessed are they that have not seen, but yet believe. Now, there's somebody in here that hadn't been touched by God's healing hand, but then again, you may not have been sick enough. But there's somebody in the house this morning that's been laid down on a bed of affliction. Realize that the Lord God blessed them. Step he's done. Then they tell the children of Israel, don't you remember? I brought you out of Egypt. I brought you out of bondage. I made a way. We have in the wilderness 40 long years. I had in your gun. Kept proof of all your head. Let all the damn your food. Of all the fiction all around you. I want all morning. Why was something right? I know this morning. Don't you remember that I got the power to destroy all the earth? I somebody come in and take the land back from you. But because I am your God, I love you with all of my heart. I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that all you gotta do is trust the power of God. You gotta know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Lord is on your side. I just somebody tell somebody that the Lord God said, I'm gonna show you what is good. And when you see what is good, these are the requirements that I have for mankind. First of all, you got to do justly. Walk right before God. Walk right before man. Treat man like you ought to treat man. Know that everything will work out for your good. Then he said, you got to love mercy. The same way that God blessed your sin sick soul. Don't get mad. Don't be a hater. Don't be an instigator. When God blesses somebody else, for the Lord has mercy on you, he ought to have mercy on somebody else. And then finally, walk humbly with the Lord. Go down on bended knee. Stop saying that it's all about you. For the Lord God said in his word, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, would call out on the name of the Lord, then will I heal the land. Then will I make everything all right. I want to know this morning, don't you know, Faust Chapel, that when he talks about those people, the children of Israel, I want to let you know that that's our Zion. And when we say, oh, Zion, what's the matter now? You are Zion. The children of Israel was Israel. And then God blessed you over and over again. What's the matter with you? You asked God for a blessing. God gave you what you asked for. And then you still sit down on God. What's the matter now? You say, Lord, if you pick me up, I'll do things right. I'll trust you with all of my heart. But as soon as you get enough strength in your body, you run back to your wicked ways. Oh, Zion, what's the matter now? You said if I bless your children, you will treat me right. I done got your children grown. Everything's all right in their life. And you still sleeping on me. Oh, Zion. Oh, Zion. What's the matter now? God makes an appeal to the people of God through the prophet Micah. And he lets them know, don't forget where God has brought you from. But then he also lets them know that the old sacrifices that you've been accustomed to making, that's not going to do it. The pity party, the little warmed over, thank you, Jesus. The little don't say nothing till the pastor say something, then you're going to say something. That ain't going to get it. Did not the Bible say that even if they went as far as to give their newborn child, that still wouldn't be enough. Micah said, what can we do to get back in fellowship with our God? See, y'all gets me all excited. And I miss my major points that I want to make. But I thank God for giving me recollection just in time. Because this is very vital. You need to know this morning that his main message was not so much that God was making the appeal, but the key of that message is, Lord, what can I do now to make things right? Do I have to go back to my friend and make amends? Do I have to come back to you and say, Lord, just like the prodigal son, I sinned against heaven and against thee. And Lord, I need you to save me. Or maybe we're like David. We recognize and acknowledge that we've sinned before God. And we're asking God, wash me, cleanse me, make me whiter than snow. There is someone in this house this morning that is going through the same struggles that the children of Israel walked through. We may not be in the wilderness, but we've created our own type of wilderness. And you can't get out all by yourself. You got to search for the light. Jesus is that light. And there was a hymn that said, I saw the light. And when I saw that light, it changed the way that I looked at things. Because where I used to look out of dark eyes, now I see with the eyes of the Lord. And so that's why he says, walk just, love mercy. Because if God can look beyond my fault, the most wretched sinner that you know in the street, God can look beyond theirs. And so I got to love God for having that kind of love and mercy for my brother, my sister that I might not even know by name. And so then after that, let that pride go. Come off your high horse. Get down and be humble. And the Bible says, humbly walk with God. These are the requirements that God requires of us for all that he's done. Some of us are convinced and we think that salvation comes by doing everything right. But we're not going to make that mark. There is something wrong with every one of us, even though that proclaim salvation. Something is still yet wrong with us. But we are a work in progress, still in the hands of a loving God. And as long as we're in God's hand, and we can look back over the life of the Israelites, and out of all of the prophets, major and minor, they continue to tell you how man fell short. Man always was disobedient. But all they had to do was repent, call on their God with a sincere spirit, and God always came to their rescue. Amen. So somebody in here this morning that's going through, all I'm sharing with you is that God is displeased when we don't appreciate what he's doing in our lives. And we can't give back to God just anything. But the Bible declares, offer your body as a living sacrifice. Why? Because you were bought with a price. You don't belong to yourself. God paid the penalty. He paid our ransom. And we owe God something.